listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. You can order your Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert jerseys straight from the team. Visit the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. You guys are fired up with us here on the phone lines. It's Nathan Zagura alongside my man, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, here on CBD. Big hour number two coming up. Pierre Desir will have sat down with Vic earlier today. We'll hear that at 2 o'clock. John McClain, NFL writer and Texans beat writer from the Houston Chronicle, with us at 2:30. We're going to go back to the phones. Now we've got Phil in Brecksville with us. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Boy, this is cool, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it certainly is. It was fun getting out there and seeing the Rooks over the weekend.
You know, I just wanted to bring up a couple points. First of all, I remember Pete Carroll making a comment about Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson, and I remember this distinctly. When Pete Carroll was asked, he said, this isn't about Matt Flynn at all. He said, this is all about what Russell Wilson has done, and I guess that's probably what I hope happens going forward. Secondly, my problem is that I went through a training camp, and Vic and Nathan, you've seen more of these. You know, the thing that struck me about training camp is that I don't know how anybody can make an analysis on anybody. I mean, they don't hit. They don't go full speed. All I saw was Brandon Weeding standing back there taking, you know, throwing bombs, and I saw Brian Hoyer checking off and throwing it away. And all I thought was, you know, wow, Brandon Weeding can really throw the ball.
Yeah.
But you can't do anything. You can't do any analysis at all on these players in training camp. They don't hit. The only people that worked hard were the corners and the wide receivers. So I guess to Vic and Nathan, both of you, are we going to see a change in training camp? And if North Turner can't make a decision on Brandon Weeden, how does anybody make a decision on a new quarterback?
Well, let me say, that's a great, great question. I love how you frame that. And you're absolutely right to wonder about that from our standpoint of watching this as non-coaches, non-personnel people, but just people who are into this game and trying to make our own assessments. No, the format of camp is not going to change to allow the ability to evaluate quarterbacks or anybody else any better. There'll be a different practice routine under Coach Pettine, but the rules of how practice is run, no contact, limited work, limited time on the field, limited numbers of days when you can even have pads on, all of that's in place. I think it's like 14 workouts total that you get with pads on or whatever. It's not, you know, it's very much governed by the collective bargaining agreement between the league and the Players Association. So that's a blanket thing for the whole league. How you make those judgments. Okay, North Turner, we would all agree, I think, is a good judge of quarterbacks. And in his determination, along with Rob Chudzinski, let's give him props for understanding that position pretty well as well. They came to their what they thought was their best conclusion. Nathan and I have said this on the show before. We weren't arguing it. We thought, based on what we saw, that that's what we got too. But I think you've got to say, and this is where I defer to Kyle Shanahan, we'll defer to Dowell Loggins, well, defer to the people whose life is devoted to studying quarterback play and everything about it. You've got to make projections, just like you're watching people on tape at the college level and at the pro level, watching the tape of what Hoyer did in these previous games that he did play, and then watching mechanically everything he's doing there and all the coachable points and all the progress he's making on a day-to-day basis, the certain routes you're asking him to throw, the certain reinforcements you're giving him or teachings you're giving him during the course of it, and how he's responding, all of them, Manziel, all the quarterbacks. So you've got to kind of – that's what they do. And do they get it wrong? Sometimes, yes. But I wouldn't make as a blanket statement you can't ever determine who the best guy is or really know what you're picking based on how practices are structured, because these guys are trained to kind of look beyond that. And I'm not saying that they're geniuses, Yodas, that they always get it right, because they don't. None of us do always get it right. But I do think that they work from a pretty good knowledge base.
I would agree with that, and I think it's a combination of things. It's the training camp practices, it's the preseason games, but it's what happens in the meeting room a lot that I think has a lot to do with it in terms of you're looking at a guy and saying, okay, you made this mistake on the practice field. The next time you're in the same situation, were you able to correct that and fix that play? Were you able to learn from that? How quickly are you able to make your decisions? How quickly are you able to process information? That's, I think, one of the things that they're really going to be looking at in evaluating this, because Brian Hoyer, I think that's what where he became so noticeably different from Brandon Whedon was when he was able to just kind of make decisions quickly and get rid of the football and allow the offense to have a much better flow. Anybody could see that. You didn't see that all the time in camp, I will say that, but anybody could see that really going through once he got in there and got the opportunity to play. So I thought that that's certainly it's an interesting point, and I don't think you leave it only to the practices. It's a combination of the practices, combination of the games, and it's a combination of what happens off the field as well in those learning sessions for the team. One report coming out right now, Pro Football Talk reporting that the Browns have signed wide receiver Anthony Armstrong. And now the rookie minicamp was this weekend, yet there were street free agents there, and Anthony Armstrong was one of them. Wide receiver with a lot of speed, who back in 2010 for Kyle Shanahan had 44 catches, 871 yards, averaging nearly 20 yards a catch, was top 10 in the league with 7 pass catches of more than 40 yards. He has never come close to those numbers, basically has 100 yards receiving more than that the following 4 seasons in the league combined. But Anthony Armstrong, I will say, none of the undrafted free agents stood out to me. Anthony Armstrong is a professional receiver who's been there, still looked like he had some juice in his legs, and did seem like the top receiver in terms of his ability to get open, catch the football, and make plays over this camp. So if the Pro Football Talk report that the Browns have signed him is true, and we'll hopefully get confirmation on that later, wouldn't surprise me. I thought he stood out a little bit in that rookie minicamp.
No, that is good, definitely good news and good to hear. If they found, again, some people who can help. And it'll be a committee approach. You're not solving anything with one guy. And if, in fact, again, we'll find out more from Josh Gordon, possibility that he meets with the faces questions from reporters on Wednesday. We'll see how that unfolds. But that's a distinct possibility because he is going through all the work with his teammates. He's doing everything that everybody else is doing as far as attending meetings and practices and so forth. So nothing officially has taken place regarding the reports of a possible suspension for him, but that we'll perhaps get more insight on that when we get to Wednesday as well. Let's go to Dave in Seattle with us right now. Hello, David.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Good. I want to talk about Brian Hoyer. I don't know why he's even in the conversation to be considered for the quarterback. The guy's played in the NFL for 6 years, and he's played 18 games. Why is everyone still talking about him when we have Johnny Manziel? Are we shooting for a six-man season? Are we going to try to go for the goal here? I think Johnny Manziel, if you look at his talents compared to Brian Hoyer, there's no comparison. Brings everything to the table that Brian doesn't bring to the table. And if we're facing Pittsburgh, who would you rather be matched up with, Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel?
I think Brian Hoyer proved that he can be, at the very least, a competent starting quarterback in the NFL when he came in and won both games that he started last year, including beating the Cincinnati Bengals, a playoff team, and beating the Minnesota Vikings, who was a, you know, playoff team the year before. Brian Hoyer, he understands what it's like to play in this league. He's played here with the speed. I think, as I said, he's earned the right to compete. We've heard the two extremes. How can you not have him automatically as your starter? And I would say, again, he's earned the right to compete. He played 2 games, and we have the other extreme. How is he even in the conversation? Johnny Manziel, I believe many would agree, has greater physical gifts than Brian Hoyer, which is why he was a first-round pick and why Hoyer's bounced around the league a little bit, kind of primarily as a backup. But right now, Hoyer is the guy who's been here and has at least the opportunity, like I said, to enter camp as the starter and see if he can hold off the young upstart in Manziel.
Yeah, you know, I won't go as far with either guy to label how many wins I think the one guy will get you, or that it's not going for the gusto if the decision is made to go for Brian Hoyer. Again, I think that decision is based on, I hope, all the football points, the readiness, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to see everything that he's able to do along with everything that Johnny Manziel is able to do at this stage, and there's going to be so much more for him to learn. Even if he were to come out of camp as the starter, You're taking him with the notion that there's going to be a lot of growing pains, right? A lot of ups and downs in his game. It's just natural. It's just how it happens, because you can't possibly know everything you need to know and function as well as you function in your first games, as your first season. It just doesn't work, even with the best in the league. I'm sorry. There's the history will tell us that consistently, is that even the best of rookie seasons have ups and downs.
Of course they do. Let's go all the way out to Hawaii. We've got Mike on the line. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Everybody's excited out here. There's a ton of Browns fans out here. Cool. Unfortunately, it's Steeler country here.
Well, hopefully we'll have something to let them know about after week one.
But the thing about Mandel is he's been doubted all his life.
Yep.
People don't realize that, and he's proven it. The hype is real. I mean, the hype is because what he's done on the field. And let's face it. Those 2 years in the SEC, he basically had the two best seasons in the history of that conference. It's not like Brandon Weeden with some gimmicky offense up there in Oklahoma State. I mean, this kid he's a natural thrower. He's got eyes in the back of his head. He's just got a sixth sense about him, and he carries himself like a veteran. I mean, he's media savvy. The other thing I like about him is that he wants to prove it. He wants to be great. And then he said he wants to come to Cleveland, which is, I mean, shocking. And I remember when the Browns were an elite organization, before they went to the AFC, because I'm 55. I was a kid in the late 60s, and they traded my favorite player, Warfield. And let's face it, they have not been an elite organization since then. They had some moments, but I think right now they're at the point, Johnny Manziel came at the right time, because this team's ready to pop. They got a ton of young players that are going to go into their prime. That defense looks fast and nasty. I think they got the right coach. Palmer right. Looks unbelievably confident in running this draft. I don't care what anybody. I think the Browns had the best draft when you had that the players they got and that first round pick. I'm just stoked, and
sound
I think Manziel's going to prove it.
I like it, and I agree with you. I think you're right. This is a team with a lot of talent on it. It's a young team, and Ray Farmer's taking steps to keep that young nucleus together. And Johnny Manziel, as he said, wanted to be here. He wasn't a guy that was brought into the SEC at Texas A&M and was going to be handed everything. He wasn't even supposed to start his redshirt freshman year. He won a competition, took over, won his first game against the Florida Gators on national TV, and was off to the races, winning the Heisman Trophy that year. Johnny Manziel is a guy who likes to prove people wrong. He's ultra competitive, and this is another situation, and I think that plays into it to him as well. One of the reasons that I think he liked Cleveland was he has an opportunity to do something nobody's been able to do here ever, and I think that's appealing to a guy who likes a challenge like Johnny Football does.
Yeah, without a doubt, and again, all those other points have to happen. This defense has to rise to the occasion. If there's going to be success, it will happen because of the complementary efforts of everybody, and Johnny Manziel could be included in that, but this team's first chance and best chance to win this year starts on defense, strong running game, all of those basic tenets, and then we'll see how the quarterback situation, Johnny or Brian, factor in, but I love Mike's enthusiasm as well. All right, we got a nice sit-down. I had an opportunity to talk with Pierre Desir, fourth-round draft pick. Interesting guy, came from Haiti to Cleveland now, and he is going to let us in on a lot of his background. That's next on CBD.